I want to start this deep dive by pulling up a memory that I think every single person listening has buried somewhere deep in their brain.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with
Yeah,
this.
right. It's a Tuesday night, maybe 2008 or 2012. You're sitting down to dinner, the landline rings.
The landline.
Remember landlines? And you pick up a very serious, slightly robotic voice on the other end tells you, "Hello? This is Microsoft Technical Support. We have detected a dangerous virus on your computer."
The absolute classic. It's almost nostalgic at this point.
It is, isn't it? We laugh about it now. We make memes about it. But looking through the research stack we have for today, specifically this guide on defeating the imposter, I stopped laughing pretty quickly because that scam, it didn't die. It didn't just disappear. It just moved house.
It migrated. It went from the telephone network to the blockchain. And while the technology is, totally different, the psychological trigger is identical. It's about authority and it's about panic.
That's the thing that really struck me reading through this. We like to think we're smarter now, we're digital natives, or we're crypto savvy, but the fake support scam is arguably the most successful attack vector in the entire industry right now. And unlike the old days, where you might lose a few hundred bucks for some fake antivirus software,
In this space, one mistake wipes you out. There is no fraud department at Bitcoin. There is no undo button on the blockchain. If you hand over the keys, the money is gone.
so our mission today is pretty specific. We aren't just telling scary stories. We want to help everyone listening build what the source material calls a fake support shield. We need to deconstruct exactly how these imposters operate from the moment they spot you to the moment they try to drain your wallet.
So you can spot them a mile away. And we need to dispel this myth that this only happens to newbies. The data shows these scams are sophisticated. They are hunting everyone, including developers and longtime holders.
Let's talk about that hunt, because that was the part of the research that really creeped me out. In the old Microsoft days, they just, dialed random numbers. It was a numbers
A
game.
shotgun approach.
Exactly. But according to the sources, modern crypto scammers aren't guessing. They are watching.
Watching is the right word.
Yeah.
It's surveillance. They are utilizing what is essentially keyword scraping. They hang out in the places where crypto users congregate, Discord servers, Telegram groups, the replies on X, and they are waiting for a very specific signal.
They're looking for blood in the water.
They're looking for distress. I mean, think about the last time you went to a support channel or posted a question on Twitter about a product. You only do that when something is broken. You type, "Hey, my transaction is stuck," or "Why isn't my wallet connecting?"
Right, you are publicly broadcasting. I am confused, I am vulnerable, and I have money involved.
And that is the dinner bell. You have just identified yourself as a target who is currently facing a technical hurdle. That's step one, the hunt. They don't have to find you. You just announced yourself to them.
So let's move to step two then, the approach. You've posted your question, you're frustrated. How do they actually make contact? Because I'm guessing they don't want to do this in public where, moderators can warn you.
Exactly. They want to isolate the prey. The most common vector is the direct message, the DM. You ask a question in a public Discord, and seconds later, ping, a notification pops up. "Hi, I saw your question about the stuck transaction. I'm from the support team. Let me help you sort that out."
And the sources emphasize that it isn't always a DM. Sometimes they reply publicly, but they use a sort of visual camouflage.
This is the visual grooming aspect. They don't look like user 1224. They clone the official branding. They use the Phantom Wallet logo. They use the MetaMask Fox or the Coinbase C. They might change the handle just slightly.
Oh, like swapping a lowercase L for the number one or adding an underscore?
Yes, like at Coinbase Support Help instead of just at Coinbase Support. And if you're panic scrolling on your phone trying to fix a problem, you aren't going to catch that pixel level difference.
Your brain just fills in the blanks.
That's the goal. They rely on your brain auto-correcting the image. You see the logo, you see the word support, and you lower your guard.
That brings us to step three, the grooming. This is the part that I think catches smart people off guard. I think we all expect scammers to be aggressive or use broken English or just be obviously sketchy.
But they're not.
No, the case studies here show the exact opposite. They are incredibly helpful.
They are professionally helpful.
Yeah.
That's why it works. They use corporate language. "We apologize for the inconvenience. Let's get this resolved for you." They validate your frustration. They build rapport. They aren't trying to rob you in the first sentence.
They're trying to get you to open the door for them.
Precisely.
There was one detail in the notes that I found particularly clever or insidious, really. They often know about real technical issues that are happening at that moment.
That's a huge trust anchor. If the Solana network is congested and everyone is complaining about it on Twitter, the scammer knows that. So when they DM you, they'll say, oh yes, due to high network congestion on Solana, you need to re-verify your node.
It sounds plausible because it references a real-world problem you're already experiencing. It anchors the lie in a little bit of truth.
Exactly. I mean, it makes you think, oh, this person knows what's going on. They must be legitimate.
Okay, so they've hooked you. They look like support. They sound like support. They know what your problem is. Now we get to step four, the sting. What is the actual mechanism of the theft? They can't steal your money just by talking to you. They need you to do something.
They need access.
Yeah.
And in crypto, access usually comes down to one of two things. The holy grail for them is your seed phrase or private key.
I want to pause on this for a second. For anyone listening who maybe just holds on Coinbase and hasn't dabbled in self-custody yet, can we just clarify why that string of words is so dangerous? I feel like people treat it like a password, but it's so much more than that.
It is much more than a password. Password can be reset. If you lose your email password, you call Google, you prove who you are. In self-custody, that seed phrase, those 12 or 24 words, is the mathematical master key to your funds. It is the money.
So if I give someone those 12 words?
They don't need to hack you. They don't need your computer. They can just type those words into their own phone on their own wallet, and suddenly, they are you. They have full control.
But they don't usually say, give me your seed phrase right out of the gate. How do they frame the request so it sounds reasonable?
It's always framed as a technical necessity. To push the stuck transaction, we need to resync your wallet database. Or to verify your ownership, please enter your phrase into this secure portal.
And that secure portal is just a phishing site they control that logs whatever you type.
Correct. But it's not always the seed phrase anymore. People are getting smarter about their keys, so scammers are evolving. We're seeing a massive rise in what's called drainer transactions.
This is the Connect Wallet scam.
Yes. They don't ask for your words. They say, go to this support site, connect your wallet, and click approve to fix the bug.
Which feels safer to the user. You think, well, I don't give them my password. I just clicked a button.
Right. But that approve message you clicked, if you actually read the code behind it, it was a permission slip saying, I give this smart contract permission to move all of my USDC. You literally sign away your funds thinking you're signing a support ticket.
That is terrifying because it uses the interface we use every single day against us. I want to ground this in a specific example. The research dossier includes a case study involving a phantom wallet scenario. I think walking through this is really valuable.
We'll do it. This is a textbook scenario happening thousands of times a day.
Okay, so the setup. You are the user. You go on Twitter and post, having trouble withdrawing from Phantom? Is the network down? You've rung the dinner bell.
The hunt begins. The bots pick up the keyword Phantom and trouble.
Almost immediately, you get two interactions. Let's call them Situation A and Situation B. In Situation A, you get a DM. It's from a user called @PhantomSupportHalt. They have the little ghost logo. The message says, hi, sorry for the trouble. To fix your withdrawal issue, please connect your wallet at phantomwebfix.com and enter your recovery phrase to resync your account.
Okay, freeze frame there. That is Situation A. Immediate, helpful, direct solution. Now give me Situation B.
Situation B. You get a public reply to your tweet from the verified @Phantom account, the one with the gold checkmark and 500,000 followers. They say, sorry to hear that. Please submit a ticket through our help center at help.phantom.app. Our team will get back to you. We will never DM you first.
The contrast is so stark when you read them back to back like that. But think about the psychology. In the heat of the moment, the scammer in Situation A is offering you an immediate solution. Do this, and it's fixed.
While the real company is offering you a form to fill out and a wait time.
Exactly. And we're all wired to want the immediate solution. We want the pain to stop. So let's break down the red flags in Situation A. What should scream danger?
Okay, what's number one?
Red flag number one. Unsolicited contact. Real support teams are overworked. They are drowning in tickets. They do not have people sitting on Twitter searching for users to DM. If they come to you, it's a scam.
That seems to be the golden rule here. Don't call us. We'll call you. Except in reverse.
Right. If a stranger knocks on your door and says, I'm here to fix the gas leak you didn't know you had, you don't let them in. It's the same logic.
And red flag number two.
The ask. Asking you to go to a third-party site. Notice the URL, Phantom Web Fix. That is not phantom.app. Scammers love hyphens and words like help, live, or fix in the URL.
And red flag number three, the big one. Asking for the recovery phrase. Is there any scenario, technical, administrative emergency where a legitimate support agent at Phantom or MetaMask or Ledger would need your seed phrase?
Zero. None. It does not exist. Support agents deal with the software, not the funds. They don't have a database where they can look up your seed phrase. If a bank teller asked for your PI and your house keys, you'd call the police. It's the same thing.
And then looking at situation B, the real support, they are actively directing you away from social media.
That's the pull model. They want you to come to their fortress, their official help desk. They don't want to handle sensitive issues in a Twitter thread or a Discord DM. And notice that mantra they repeat, we will never DM you first. They have to say that because the problem is so rampant.
I want to dig a little deeper into why we fall for this. Because smart people fall for this. I've read stories of developers falling for this. The source material talks about the urgency weapon.
This is pure biology. It's the amygdala hijack. Scammers use language designed to bypass your logic center. Act now or your funds will be permanently locked. Unauthorized access detected. Your wallet is compromised.
When you read that, your brain goes into fight or flight. You stop checking URLs and start trying to save your money.
Precisely. You feel like the building is on fire and the scammer is standing there holding the exit door open. You don't ask to see the doorman's ID. You just run through the door. Real support is, well, it's boring. Real support puts you in a queue.
It's slow. It's bureaucratic.
Yeah. So if the person helping you is too fast, too eager, and too scary, run. Panic is the scammer's best friend. If you feel panic, stop. Close the laptop. Take a breath.
We have a list of script variations here in the notes. These are the lines they use. We covered the wallet compromised angle. But what about the failed transaction script? I see this one all the time.
This is the I can push it through for you scam. They claim your transaction is stuck in the mempool and they need your seed phrase to manually process it on the back end.
Which, for the record, is technobabble, right? Can a support agent push a transaction?
Complete nonsense. Blockchains are decentralized networks of thousands of computers. A support agent at a company cannot force the global network to validate a transaction. They don't have a God mode button.
Right.
But if you don't understand how the tech works, if you think of it like a bank transfer, it sounds like something a manager could do.
Let me just speak to the manager of Bitcoin and get this sorted.
Exactly. It relies on applying bank logic to blockchain reality.
Here's one that I know catches a lot of people. The Discord admin. This is insidious because on Discord, moderators and admins are usually the good guys. They're the police banning the spammers.
That's why it's so effective.
Yeah.
You trust the MOD tag. But here's the reality. Scammers can clone admin profiles. Or worse, and this happens a lot, a real admin account can get hacked. So you get a DM from admin Steve, who has been helpful in the chat all week. And he says, hey, I saw your issue. Share your screen and I'll walk you through it.
Screen sharing seems harmless, though. You aren't typing your password. Why is that dangerous?
Because if you open your wallet extension while screen sharing, they might see your balance. Or worse, if you go into settings to check something, you might accidentally flash a QR code or your recovery phrase. Or they might just be learning your file structure to plant malware later. The rule is simple. Legitimate crypto companies do not need to remote control your computer. They aren't Geek Squad.
So we've seen the traps. We know what the predator looks like. Let's build the defense. The fake support shield. The source material outlines some absolute laws of physics for support.
Think of these as the always never rules. If you just memorize these, you eliminate 99% of the risk.
Okay, rule number one, initiation.
Real support never DMs you first. You must initiate the contact through an official channel. If they slide into your DMs, it is a scam, period. Even if they have a logo, even if they seem nice.
Rule number two, secrets.
Real support never asks for a seed phrase or private key. We cannot stress this enough. Not for verification, not for syncing, not for fixing a database. If those words are requested, you are talking to a thief.
Rule number three, access.
Legitimate support is informational, not operational. They tell you how to fix it. They don't fix it for you. They don't need TeamViewer. They don't need screen shares. And they certainly don't need you to sign a transaction to receive help.
So let's turn this into a checklist for the listener. The next time you have a crypto problem and someone offers to help, run this mental diagnostic.
Think of it like a pilot's checklist. Question one, did they contact me first? If yes, block.
Question two, are they asking for my keys or asking me to sign something?
If yes, block.
Question three, am I on the official domain?
And don't just glance. Read it character by character. Is it phantom.app or is it phantomsupportlive.chat? Scammers rely on you not reading the address bar.
Now, if the answer to any of these is yes, the sources are pretty blunt about what to do.
Immediate disengagement. Don't argue. Don't troll them. I know people like to mess with scammers, but it's dangerous. Don't try to outsmart them. Just block and report. Every second you stay in the chat is a second they have to manipulate you.
But I still have a broken wallet. My transaction is still stuck. What is the safe protocol? If I can't trust the DMs, where do I go?
You have to take the slow road. Open your browser. Type in the official website URL yourself. Don't click a link someone sent you. Go to the support or help section, submit a ticket, and then wait.
The waiting is the hardest part when money is on the line. It feels like you're doing nothing.
It is painful. But remember, the urgency is the weapon. Waiting means you are safe. If you are sitting in a ticket queue, you aren't being drained. You are trading convenience for security. In the crypto world, that is the only trade that makes sense.
It really changes your perspective on bad customer service. In crypto, slow service might actually be a sign of legitimacy.
It's a feature, not a bug. If it's too easy, it's probably a trap.
I want to wrap this up with a thought that struck me while reading through all this. We talk a lot about the ethos of crypto. Be your own bank. It sounds empowering. It sounds like freedom.
It is empowering, but this deep dive really highlights the shadow side of that slogan.
Exactly. Being your own bank doesn't just mean you get to keep the profits and cut out the middleman.
No, it means you are the bank manager. You are the IT department. You are the fraud detection algorithm. And most importantly, you are the security guard standing at the vault door.
And there is no insurance policy.
That's the reality. In the traditional world, if you let a scammer in, sometimes the bank can reverse the wire. They can freeze the account. In this world, if you let the inspector in and he empties the vault, the blockchain is immutable. That transaction is written in stone. There's no one to call.
That is a heavy responsibility. But I think with the shield we built today, understanding the hunt, the grooming, and the always never rules, our listeners are a lot better equipped to stand guard.
Absolutely. The tools are there. You just have to keep your guard up and never let panic take the wheel.
Verify everything, trust no one in your DMs, and stay safe out there. Thanks for diving in with us.
Stay sharp.